April 9th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 30.
Available. And where not available, it's not in stereo. There's nothing we can do about that, so don't blame us. We have no control over it. Call your cable company if there's some sort of a problem, or the local broadcaster. But if they're not giving you stereo and you want stereo, that's your problem, not ours. Don't bug us. Complain to your Congress. Ah! But we don't want to get any letters. Understand? Good.
Well, hey, everybody. It's me, the J-Strom, here in the pop culture district of Mulberry. And that's right, our show is not in stereo, it's in DTS. That's right, Digital Theater Sound 8.1.
You gotta have DTS a special decoder
mono?
To get it.
So when I speak kind of in a deep voice, that triggers the LFE in the corner of your room. Pretty cool, huh?
Sweet.
Steven, I'm glad you're here this time. You had your ringer on your phone, that's good, that's good.
I called you.
Yeah, you called me back.
Well.
Dabs! I left a voicemail. Now we also have Bill here. How's it going, Bill?
It's going.
Mulberry Bill and his pop culture... Wait, no, sorry, Steven. Didn't mean to check.
Hey.
Steven's a pop culture zealot. Bill is the Mulberry historian. And Vanessa is the news person of Mulberry. The Mulberry news desk, I guess.
I just heard the Predator prowl.
I did too.
Awesome. The Predator is back. Do you like that? You know what? I think Foggy put away the Predator thing, so let's see if he can dig that up.
Who were you asking if they liked that?
If they liked what?
I don't know. I just heard, do you like that? And I was like, what? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to Steven or someone else?
I don't know.
Imaginary. Do you like that?
Now, guys, now that it's been 30 shows in a row of Nowhere in Mulberry, a show where it's the...
In a row.
TV, film, pop culture, podcast commentary, I guess I'll call it. It's a show where
That's
we just talk about crap. You know, we talk about nothing important, right? Would you guys all agree that?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
How, now I'll go down the line. Now, Steven, doing the show for this long, it's 30 episodes. It's quite a milestone. 30 years we've been doing this now. How has the show changed your life?
I get better women.
Wow.
Fancier cars, and I get the finest table down at Shea Rivera, here in Nepal.
Shea Rivera.
You also, you get lots of phone calls on Saturday, don't you, for me? Dude, where are you? Like dude, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Text messages? Hello? You alive? That kind of text message?
Are you awake yet? What time zone are you in?
The women in the better tables had to do with Scientology.
Ah, they're on clay tables.
They attracted to men with no thetans.
Now, do you think you would have ever been introduced to Scientology without Nowhere in Mulberry?
I can't say. No, I probably would not have. No.
It's a great interview. Okay, hey, Bill. Hey, Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now.
I caught you off guard there. No one ever asked you how you are.
Yeah, no one ever bounces it back.
I have, too, several times.
No, I don't think
you
so.
Better go back and listen.
Steven making shit up again.
You better go back and listen
kiss
to
my ass.
Other episodes.
Now, Bill, thank you. I'm doing quite well. I'm just curious, how has Nowhere in Mulberry changed your life?
It's filled up an otherwise uneventful day on the weekend for me. It's made me watch more television and generally gain more weight.
Ah, a A positive thing.
It's all positive things.
Yeah. Be ostracized by my family and friends.
Ah.
I mean, yeah, it's terrific things that together create one large amalgamation of pain.
Right, and you've always, and it lets you know that Steven is alive every week because you can hear him breathing too.
Absolutely.
Yes. No worries on that.
My life is better. Right. For that slight.
Well, that's good, you guys. Now, Vanessa, how has the show changed your life?
Well, I have someone who's making me a Wilma Deering outfit. I
mean, that's a positive.
But of course, I mean, come on, that's an honor to dress like Wilma Deering from Buck Rogers. Come on.
See, that went right over my head.
Damn you, my guy, Bill.
Yeah, that's right.
Good old Eugene.
Your ass, Eugene.
Good old Eugene. I would say that's more of a negative than a positive, but okay.
Well, you gotta look like purple satin butt pants. Yeah, my purple satin butt pants.
Right.
Well, wasn't it technically purple spandex butt pants?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Probably had a little spandex in them.
Satin spandex?
These purple satin butt pants?
Maybe in the future in Buck Rogers, they determine that satin, although pretty, was not, you know, you need like worms. Oh, wait, that's silk. Never mind. Now, guys, let me tell you how the show has changed me. Not changed my life in any way. Maybe it has. I mean, one thing, I do look forward to doing the show every week. It's kind of like my getaway. It's where we can all have fun on the show and entertain. It's also fun during the week to find clips to play on the show. And it's fun.
It's your Steve McQueen and Ally McGraw getaway?
Yes.
Or is it, it's my Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger getaway?
No, it's the Steve McQueen getaway.
Okay,
The Sam Peckinpah getaway. Now, it's not the... never mind, I can't remember who directed the remake. But I'm just saying that doing the show is a positive for me because it's therapeutic. It's like getting the negativity out. It's almost like my e-meter session, if you will, Steven.
Except you do it on your own. It's your own self-therapy.
Right, and Steven, that's one thing. Maybe Scientology didn't charge, but...
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
But Nowhere in Mulberry is free, all right? So,
but you also need someone to read the e-meter, so you can't do it alone. Whereas this, you can actually do it without the other people on the show.
Right. And one thing I want to say, our version of e-meter reading is feedback, which we get none. So I'm going to put a call out for this, for our listeners. If you are listening to this show right now, do me a favor. Go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and tell us, hey, I like your show, I listen to it. Or tell us something specific like that you like about the show. I'm just curious, because we have listeners, but no one... we don't get a lot of feedback. We get Eugene. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of podcasts that listen, and we have some friends that listen, but I want some feedback. Please give us feedback.
Boy, this is sad.
Yeah. I know
we're doing the begging at the beginning of the show now.
I don't care about pride or any of that. I just want you to send me feedback. I don't care if it's like, you suck, your show sucks. Hey, as long as you took the time to write us an email, that's all I have to say about it.
So. At least we know we're on your mind.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this guy hates us enough to write us. That's more than the people who like our show do.
Struggling.
Exactly, Foggy. Foggy knows what I'm talking about, don't you, Foggy? All right, another thing is I want to make an announcement about the first 10 shows ever that we did, 1 through 10. I'll be taking them off our servers pretty soon just to make storage room. I don't think anyone wants to listen to those anyway, do you?
But if you want it, you can email.
You have another week to download 1 through 10. After that, they're gone forever.
Going to the Disney Vault forever.
If you email me at any time, I'll send it to you through email or, you know, do it on You Send It or something like that. Oh, here's another thing that I wanted to say before we move on, and that's voting. A lot of podcasts that you listen to, people beg for your vote at Podcast Alley or the Podcast Pickle. One thing is, if you go to Podcast Alley and you see the top 10, that has nothing to do with the quality of their show. It just means there are enough people that are like, fine, I'm beaten down by your request, I'll vote. That's what it is. It's getting that many people to vote for your show. If you feel like voting for our show on Podcast Alley, go ahead. If you don't, don't. I don't care. Now, the podcast pickle is a little bit different. We're number 8 there, and I want to move up. So go ahead and go to the podcast pickle and vote for us. Select us as one of your favorites. Thanks a lot.
You know, I just wanted to say that I really love Keith and the girl.
Yeah, what the hell is that show?
What else is there? Oh, MuggleCast. You can't forget that because who in the hell wouldn't want to listen to a show about Harry Potter every freaking week?
You're kidding.
No, MuggleCast is a huge show. What the hell? I mean, I'm like thinking, like, how often does a book and a movie come out? I can understand if, like, the podcast comes out. You know who else has a podcast?
Who?
Jonathan Anton from Blowout. He has a podcast.
You're kidding.
Blow hard.
First you want to kill me, now you want to kiss me. Blow.
Exactly. All right, guys, I've had enough of this crap. Let's move on to entertainment.
I'll be the captain, and you be Tennille.
Hey guys, before we get into TV shows like we always do, like What's on our TiVo, that sort of thing. Bill, I've been wanting to ask you about this. There's this movie called Brick that I keep seeing commercials for, and it's getting great reviews. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, I've been keeping up on it. It's a kind of a classic film noir set in modern teenage times at like a high school or something.
And they even use the same kind of dialect that they spoke like in the old noir classics, like, you know, Humphrey Bogart or whatever, right?
Well,
like
I was reading that, well, I wasn't reading, I was watching Higher Definition on HDNet, and Robert Wolanski, I think that's his name, was interviewing the director, and the director said he didn't want any of the people in it to watch any Bogart films. He was mainly about the Holden noir films. So if you watch it, that's what he's trying to emulate there, is more of a William Holden sort of style.
Right. The director's name is Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
And it's starring the guy from Third Rock from the Sun, who
John Lithgow?
No.
The young boy.
French Stewart? No. The little
French
kid.
Stewart would have been great.
It stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt because it's teenagers in the movie. And here's a trailer to it, and I think it looks really good. I can't wait to see it.
Brendan?
Emily?
I really screwed up.
Screwed up how?
The brick.
What?
I didn't know it was bad, but the pin's on it now. You gotta help me.
Slow down now. This isn't good.
No. Emily said words I didn't know. Tell me if they catch.
Brick? No.
Tug?
Tug might be a drink, like milk and vodka.
Pin?
You know the kingpin.
Dope runner, right?
Big time. What are you gonna do?
She asked for my help. I just wanna know she's okay.
So what's first?
Yeah, I'm gonna start shaking things up.
Stick a butt.
Yeah, I'm gonna shake things up, yeah.
You see?
Yeah!
That would be just death if they all did Edward G. Robinson. Hey, see?
And he just hit you.
Jimmy Cagney.
Top of the world, Bob!
You're coming into a certain situation. It's twisted.
At least the trailer doesn't have like a tidal wave.
Or glass breaking.
Yeah. Oh, wait, there was a tidal wave technically.
Everyone's got their thing.
In the upper crust, the Shady D's, they've got symbols so they can tell each other that we're getting around.
Coffee and pie.
Coffee and pie? Oh my.
Keep up with me now.
You got a cigarette?
I don't smoke.
I've seen you smoke.
I don't smoke cigarettes.
I thought we had orange juice. I'm sorry.
Water's fine, ma'am. Thanks.
Oh, wait a minute. We have apple juice. It's country style.
Some Sunny D.
Sunny D? That's dirty.
If I get to the bottom,
it also has Claire
is.
From what do you Lost. Want?
It's too hot. You got discipline issue with me? Write me up or suspend me.
I see that you're trying to help her. And I don't know anybody who would do that for me.
You are dangerous.
I set out to know, put her on the spot. We put her in front of the gun. There's not much chance of coming out clean.
Pan?
I'm sold. Can't wait to see it.
I saw the review last night.
What is exactly this plot?
It's a mystery, basically. A noirish thriller with a mystery wrapped around it. And pie.
And pie.
It looks great to me. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I just love the general style of it, the direction, a lot of the dialogue. The trailer just really gives it this, you know, really murky feel.
Like this atmosphere. And
it just looks good. I know it's only playing at exclusive engagements in select cities.
And
so if you're lucky, somewhere around the country, you get to go see it.
The reason why a movie like this is neat, I haven't seen it. I don't know if I'll like it. But what's cool about it is it's different. It's different than all the other Drek that's out right now.
Yeah.
You can go see that Matthew McConaughey movie if you want. You know, the
what
one
is
with
that called?
The
Failure to Launch.
Failure to Launch. Go see Failure to Launch if you want. Go see that mermaid
movie. See Terry Bradshaw's
Failure to
ass.
Make a mark in my memory is what it was.
Yeah. But something like this comes along, I want to check it out. Now, Bill, we talked about Lucky Number 11 last week. Did you get to see that this week?
Yeah, I did. I don't know why I even bothered watching it. I want my time back.
So.
Remember how after Pulp Fiction came out, they came out with that, what was it called, like 7 Days in the Valley or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it had like Jeff Daniels and Terry Hatcher, or no, was Jeff Daniels in it? Yeah, he was.
Yeah, it also
and
had
then,
Charlize Theron.
James Spader, and it's one of these, again, this is one of those movies where everybody's going to draw comparisons to like Quentin Tarantino funky style, but it's just such a, I hate to use the word pedestrian, but it tries to set up this big mystery with this opening scene of, you know, a man getting killed or placing a bet on a horse that doesn't go right, and the whole movie is just a big pile of shit.
The one thing that I've read about it is that it too often it's winking at you, like, hey, we're being clever, aren't we?
Exactly. It's just like? it tries too hard with the cleverness, like, you know, the perfectly set up one-liners. And,
right.
Yeah,
well, one
just,
thing I could tell from
bad.
The trailer is there's way too much double talk. Like, you know, what were you doing there? How do you know I was there? Because I saw you there. You didn't see me there. Maybe you thought you did. It's like, ah, shoot me now.
Yeah, and you,
who wrote this script?
You'll have it figured out in 30 minutes. It's
right.
Just so obvious.
Isn't it getting good reviews, though?
I hope not.
No.
I've seen kind of 50-50.
Yeah.
So you're going to give it thumbs down then?
Yeah. If I had to give it stars, it would be 2 out of 4. You know, 2 for the actors in it. You know, Bruce Willis, Ben Kingsley.
Right, it has good
Morgan
actors
Freeman.
In it.
It's got great talent in it, but it's just horrible. It's like, I can't even imagine these people read the thing and went, you know what, I need to be in this. I think it was more of a paycheck.
Well, then again, maybe it was again, falls to editing. Bad editing, number one.
No, it's just a bad story.
Okay. I think the script is too winky at you. You know, it's like... And one thing I noticed that in the ad campaign, it had it kind of like, hey, look at this. It's kind of quirky, comedy type thing. And
you
then
hate
all
that
of a sudden,
word, quirky.
Well, no, that's the way I describe it. They didn't say this is a quirky movie, but I'm saying that the commercials and stuff. And then all of a sudden, like the week it was coming out, they changed the whole ad campaign to, it looks like a serious thriller. Did you guys notice that? It looked more serious. They didn't have any comedy in the commercials.
I guess I noticed it.
It was like
used to get those calls all the time too from Nielsen, where they would call and do the movie surveys and like ask you if you've heard of this, and then they'd say other reasons why people don't want to go see it is I don't like the commercial, I don't like the actor, I don't. And it's just it's just obvious that they did a survey on it, and they changed the style of the advertising.
That's probably what it was. Like, no, it looks annoying. Okay, damn, let's scramble. Let's re-edit a commercial.
A hitman comedy? No.
All right, guys.
And Bruce Willis is in a hitman comedy? Surely not.
Yeah, when have I seen him hold 2 guns before in a movie, huh? All right, enough of movie talk. Our movie reviews we do every single week of the show. Let's try What's on Your TiVo.
Thank you.
Now, guys, a show that I've grown to love now is Blowout with Jonathan Anton, the hairstylist. He's always doing banging hair, and the guy's a genius.
And he loves his dirt.
Yeah.
But you can't help but like the guy. I mean, even though he's cocky.
How can you not help but like the guy? I hate him.
He's a very self-absorbed person.
And he's completely stupid. He's just, there's nothing up there.
I love how,
it's great.
Really good stuff.
Now, what happens in this clip, he goes to Fashion Week, which, hey, it's always an honor to go to Fashion Week. I don't know if you guys knew that.
But was he invited, times, or yes. Did he go on his own?
He was invited by some, fancy clothing designer. This show has got to be staged. If it's not, this guy needs to be locked up, because he does this all the time. He gets worked up by somebody being around him. And this one, there are photographers taking pictures of everything, and they're allowed to be there, and he keeps on saying, hey, you can't take pictures, stop taking pictures, get away from me, and he's, threatening him, and he always acts like he's gonna bust some ass, I'm gonna kick some ass, I'm gonna just bust out and start punching people.
For somebody to
he's gonna
punch
go
him
into
back.
Vernon Wells mode.
Which never happens. What happens is he ends up punching a door with his elbow, and walking out or whatever. But listen to this clip and listen to what a hissy he's throwing. It's great.
Okay, I don't know if I break his camera. Camera's over there for right now, please. No, we got to do hair. Go ahead. Walk over there. If you don't get all these cameras out of here and him over there, go tell that guy to get out of here. Get him out. I want him out of here. He's been really rude to us.
Out of hair so I can all do right, my
so
car.
I'm going to go tell him to leave, okay? You got to get out of here, bro, right now. All right, this is our hair area. I've already asked you three
times. It's our
times.
Hair
I'm
area.
I'm tell you again, leave the hair area.
You need
this
to get away from
area.
My hairy area.
All right, so I'm not going to ask you again. I said get out of here. I said over there, get out of here.
Are they bothering you?
Yeah, they're
team
so
right
rude
at
to
this
us.
This very minute, are they bothering you?
He's violating my personal space.
You got to watch him out, too. People. I'm just trying to, all I was trying to do is get the cameras out of here, because they just are filming you guys when you're like a mess. You know what I mean?
I know.
And it's terrible. If I see those cameras rolling, I walk off. Turn the camera off. Camera's off. All these pole photographers. Camera guys.
I like how he's like, you better watch your mouth too. Like, what are you going to do, dude? What he says is, first he's kind of threatening, you better watch your mouth too, and he's like, if they keep taking pictures, I'm just going to walk out of here. It's like, oh, I thought you were going to kick some ass. So you mean you're just going to leave?
Oh, you're just going to wuss out.
Passive aggressive.
Somebody just.
I'm going to leave, and these women aren't going to have good hair.
Yeah, they're not going to have banging hair if you don't stop.
Well, you like how he went snowboarding and left that poor girl by herself?
Yeah, that was great. All I know is the show is genius. It's great.
Yeah. I brought it up to you
really
this
stuff.
Week because Mad Max 2 Road Warrior has been on HD movies constantly, or HD Net movies. The dude looks exactly like Vernon Wells in in Road Warrior.
Wow, man.
He looks exactly like Wes or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, Wes. You need to post that on the message board, that picture of them side by side. It looks like... He looks like the dude from Road Warrior, the guy with the assless chaps and the crossbow on his wrist.
With a mohawk.
He's totally Vernon Wells.
Love Vernon Wells. Don't like Jonathan Anton. I'll just say that. There was a part on the episode where he throws the dirt over the side. He's like,
what?
When I'm in Times Square, put a little dirt in my hair, and I throw a little in Times Square. Just flick that out, kind of that extra bit of dirt or whatever. It's like,
the
what?
Hell? He's throwing hair product in Times Square?
He's throwing it off the balcony.
I guess it's so the masses can have good hair.
You guys lost his mind. But anyway, enough of Jonathan Anton. He talks enough about himself. We don't need to.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's talk about The Apprentice. That's right. This is, they do this every, I guess every season, where they have some kind of musical task, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
This time, last time, it was something to do with satellite radio, come up with a song. But this one was come up with an Arby's jingle about their new fresh chicken sandwich.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was great. Now, Bryce is the taskmaster. What do they call him, Vanessa?
Project manager.
Yeah.
Project.
Bryce is the project manager, and like every week, it's like they have an idea and they run with it. And they don't ever really kind of stop to think maybe this isn't a great idea. But I guess it's harder when you're writing a song, especially a jingle about chicken. Who knows what could be good? Because all jingles sound kind of ridiculous, don't they?
Yes.
My favorite thing is Lenny, the Russian guy. He keeps going, I don't know what a jingle is. What is this jingle you speak of? You know? It's like,
you've been in the States for how long?
Yeah, it's like, dude. Like, it's like, listen to any commercial or whatever.
But it doesn't translate from Russian to English. It doesn't.
How hard
make
is
sense.
It to say it's a 30-second song that encapsulates everything about the product you're trying to advertise?
Yeah,
but instead, Bryce is like, okay, you don't understand. Okay, you don't have to do anything in this task. He's just kind of, he's like, in
because
Russia.
Because he doesn't know what the hell a jingle is.
We don't need jingles to sell vodka in Russia. Bryce runs with their kind of old-timey tune, and here's a clip. What I love is they're all giving each other high fives. They're always so proud of themselves. And then when the time comes to show the executives for Arby's, you can tell everything's going downhill once they see how great the other person's song is. Mm-hmm. And their one mistake also was that they were like 20 minutes late to a meeting.
Yeah, that looked bad.
Which happens every season too. I'm thinking the whole show's staged, by the way, because the same crap happens every time. How come none of the contestants watch previous seasons is what I want to know.
But anyway, well, they never think it'll happen to them, probably.
Because they're busy making millions of dollars elsewhere.
That's right. They're running sticker companies. Now, here's them patting each other on the back.
Karik was my creative director. I want to barely hear the drums. When you say, I'm thinking Arby's, I mean, this is like, you're going to belt that out. And can we lower the piano just slightly just to hear how that sounds? If you guys can just kind of like get into it as much as you can, it'd be great. All right, can we take it from the top? I'm thinking
Arby's chicken rice. All right. Crispy
chicken finger. I was just stoked with the way it came out.
It
was
totally
kind of a retro vintage jingle type of
video. I didn't know he was a surfer.
I just couldn't be happier with the way this team has come together. They worked together and they worked hard.
Now after this,
and
let's Tark's listen to the other
like
teams.
Day. He's doing great. I'm
sounds
proud
like
of that.
A
I think I'm
jingle.
Partially responsible for how well these people came together and they created
Bryce
something that
so
was really, really good. I think we nailed the task.
Totally, dude.
Yeah!
High five, bro.
That's great.
Now here's the other one. Oh, hell yeah. Damn, it's got a beat.
When I'm thinking Arby's, I'm thinking chicken natural.
Me too.
When I'm thinking tasty, I'm thinking chicken natural.
Me too.
Some natural chickens here. You
oh, hell yeah. I want Arby's right now.
Those chickens
chicken
are rocking.
That hunger attack. When I'm chicken natural, I'm thinking Arby's.
And it was so great when they were playing this live. They showed the Donald like dancing in the doorway. That was the dorkiest thing I've ever seen on television.
Oh, that was painful.
Oh, he's
I'm
like,
gonna have to download that now just to see him dance.
Bill, man, it is genius. He's sitting there, he's like dancing. Oh my god, it's so hilarious.
So
I need
bad.
A moving GIF for the message board of just the Donald always dancing. Man, it was great. All right, so Sean wins it with their kick-ass song. You guys agree that that was pretty kick-ass, right?
It was awesome.
The other one was a little too country-ish.
Yeah,
it was
a
little old-time.
I want Arby's chicken natural.
Yeah, it was like old-time like radio, but this was like, it made me, I'm going to Arby's as soon as the show's over kind of
absolutely.
Thing.
I'm thinking Arby's right now. But when I think Arby's, I'm thinking chicken naturals.
And what Bryce is, you heard Bryce there, he's convincing himself, man, this is like the greatest task ever. We accomplished it. I brought the whole team together. I made everyone work. Oh, and then,
I'm the king of the world.
And then when he's in the boardroom, he's kind of like basically saying, just blame me. I kind of screwed myself.
And, I suck.
And for the repeated week in a row, don't you agree that none of these people are bringing the right people to the boardroom?
Right.
They're letting people get off. They bring the poor guy who's observing a Jewish holiday in the boardroom because he had nothing.
No.
Yeah.
Here's what happens.
I was raised a certain way, and you stand up for the decisions that you make, and I have to do that.
I'm not going to throw people under the bus who don't need to be thrown under the bus. It's not going to happen. And I'm not throwing these two gentlemen under the bus either.
Just say fire me, Mr. Trump.
What you believe in.
But let me tell you.
I think these people did a very, very good job.
Bryce, I think it's terrible that you brought Lee back, okay? He's observing a Jewish holiday.
You can send Lee home right
I think,
now.
Excuse me, maybe I will send him home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's terrible that you brought Lee back. I think it's terrible that you didn't bring Tarek back and that you didn't bring Charmaine back. And I think it's terrible that your team was so late for the Arby's executives. And Bryce, you're fired.
Well, Donald, I think your dancing's horrible.
Thank you. And I think you have great potential, too. Just
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Okay.
Good. Go. Out.
So, wait, he brought the guy in that was observing Shabbos?
Yes.
The guy who had nothing to do with the task he brought in there. And I think the reason he brought... Oh, there's that space door again. I guess that Donald had that added to the boardroom. But I think the reason he brought that guy is so he would guarantee he would get fired. Bryce wanted to get fired, I guess.
Well, show me Shabbos, Donnie!
But what was funny, at the very end, when he's riding the car, he's like, I think the Donald knows that he just got rid of the best guy in there. It's like, yeah, I'm sure he's really
sweating.
Every guy
says that when they get fired.
The Donald just fired the wrong guy.
He's definitely the hottest.
Oh, really? Is Bryce hot?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's... Boy, you can definitely know he's not a very good businessman, then.
Yeah, it's usually like guys like Brent who are like, no, you know what? Guys like Brent are like the regional manager of the company you hate who shows up once a month just to annoy everyone. Like, so what are we doing here this week?
No, Brent's the file clerk with big dreams.
I'm writing a script.
He's got the $1 million ideas.
I would love to see Brent on that inventor show. I've invented a nose cleaner. It'll revolutionize the world. And then when they say, sorry, no, he's like, you all are filthy you-know-whats. I'm out of here.
No, I don't know what. What am I?
Yeah.
Now let's move on to a genius episode of Smallville. Or should I say, Flatliners? Did you guys watch Smallville?
They even had the whole Flatliners get up, like that blanket.
Yeah.
The silver blanket you could make cold or hot.
It's got like LED lights in it.
Sweet.
Yeah, it goes red for hot.
So basically, out of nowhere, from the last episode to this, Lana has started hanging out with med students, like goth med students, who somehow like gotten juice from meteorites and they inject it into you and you die. You can visit past loved ones. Lana's trying to visit her mom and dad in the afterlife, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she never quite gets there. She gets like, hey, and then gets sucked back or whatever. Basically, it's showing that to everyone else, she's got the dark circles in her eyes. She's like a junkie, right? And even there's one point where Lex goes, Lana, you're acting like a junkie looking for a next fix. And I was like, well, duh! You beat it over our heads, okay?
Genius writing.
And the she's like, I gotta go back. I didn't get close enough. I gotta go back. And the med student's like, $5,000. So she goes to rip off Lex.
He's getting greedy all of a sudden.
Yeah.
The first one's free, man.
And then, oh, there's another bit where on Chloe's magical computer, she sees that Milton Fine is in Honduras. And so Clark flies over to Honduras real quick. Oh, man, I love this show.
Does he run?
He just goes...
Yeah, when can he start flying already? I'm getting annoyed with the running.
All I know
is... Does he run across water?
Yeah, they just show the camera go real fast. They don't show him.
But when he puts on the red kryptonite ring, he'll fly.
Right. Meanwhile, this whole episode's about Lana and her flatlining.
And everyone loves Lana.
And there's this great scene where Chloe goes to confront the med student girl, and she starts coughing up blood, and she's like, ew, what's wrong with you, or whatever, let's get you to hospital. For some reason, the med student is all of a sudden evil and willing to kill everyone. Did you notice that? Lex gets to visit his mom in the afterlife, and she tells him that basically the path you've chosen is going to bring nothing but pain, and you're going to kill everyone or hurt lots of people, right?
Shocker.
Right. And then Clark, he gets stabbed with the stuff, and he goes back, and this is what he says when he gets to see his dad, Jonathan.
You are going to touch the lives of so many people. Not just as a man, but as a symbol. You're a symbol of peace. You're a symbol of justice.
You're a symbol of latent homosexuality.
One day Bryan Singer will make a movie about you.
I'll always be with you, son.
I love that effect right there where when everyone in got sucked, they're like, no! And they're getting pulled back in like a tunnel. It's a cheesy effect that they use 3 or 4 times on the episode.
Yeah, I was wondering if it would change at any point. Like, yeah. But it all just looked like they were falling through a kaleidoscope
every
time.
So, like, none of them were like, nobody they visited was in, like, hell or anything.
Yeah, why didn't someone die and go to hell?
What I love is
everyone goes to heaven in Smallville.
The evil doctor decides he's going to kill Lana with that, cutting tool. It's like, and she knocks him back on it, and he lands on it. It's like cutting up his chest.
Oh, sweet. Did they show it?
I was like, awesome!
See, I must have went away on that part, because when I came back, he was just laying in a pool of blood.
What I think is funny is basically Lana was okay, Lex was okay and everything, and at the end, Lex is like, I got to see my mom, and Clark's like, I spoke to my dad. And I almost thought, was Lana like, well, I tried it like 10 times, and I never got to... They tried once, and they got to talk to their loved ones, and I try over and over again. So apparently her parents are avoiding her in the afterlife.
I would too. Who are you? Daughter? Well, I'm sorry, we never had children. Writers of Smallville, please eliminate Lana Lang.
She wanted to go back to a simpler time when people loved you unconditionally, I guess, and didn't keep secrets.
Death.
Right. Time for Lana to be written out of the show.
Please, she's the worst
Lana
thing
Lana goes
Lana.
Away to college, right?
Right.
She's already there.
Goes away. She gets...
How about if she just dies?
So that small... They already tried that, but they brought her back, those bastards. So anyway, let's move on to 24. Now, at the end of the last episode, Jack and Bierko get caught in an explosion, and you think they're dead, but here's what happens.
We see you. Jack's okay. Get a medical team over here now.
Jack's okay.
You okay?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for asking, Curtis.
Bierko! Bierko!
He's unconscious.
I'll never forgive you for the 13th
floor.
Nerve gas didn't leave the
plant. Sorry, wrong Bierko.
Explosion worked.
I was looking for Craig.
He's going into sphere shock. We need to transport him now. I want him taken.
By the way, I loved you in Long Kiss Goodnight.
Curtis. Organize an escort team. You get him back to CTU alive.
He's got a new sitcom, too, I think. Craig Bierko. Now, anyway, what's great about this episode is that everything changes now. There's no more canisters, any of that. The Syntox, that storyline's over with. Now, something horrible is going on. Someone is in charge that we're getting to, right? What happens is Homeland Security is starting to take over CTU.
That's Chloe O'Brien.
That's Jim Hill from Homeland.
Jim Hill, Homeland Security. Show me your station.
Hey, it's Jim Hill, you guys.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim Hill, how are you?
I'll need all your relevant access codes.
Who are you? What's going on here?
May I have your attention, please? These men and women are from Homeland Security.
We've established that.
I just authorized a unit-wide backslash.
And this
protocol.
Is Jim Hill.
A unit-wide
CTU
backslash protocol.
By the Department of Homeland Security.
Jim Hill, how's it going? Remember, Wayne Palmer is being chased by henchmen who want to kill him, and Aaron saves him. Now they're back at the compound. Now, they want to talk to the First Lady's assistant, who it turns out was really good friends with David Palmer. She knows who's behind everything. Now, you would think she'd go, okay, guys, hear who it is. But no. They have her daughter, so she's not going to tell us anything until Jack rescues her daughter. Okay, everyone follow me on that?
Yeah.
No, but go on.
So she needs to go exchange the information she has with Peter Weller, with RoboCop, and
your move, creep.
They will give her daughter back. Now, Jack and Wayne Palmer are going along, and he's like, I used to be a Marine, Jack. I know what I'm doing. So they go, and this was a very Splinter Cell-type episode, if you guys ever played that. He's got the little keypad, his PDA, and it shows him killing guys. I love, there's a great scene where Jack goes, wraps the arm around the bad guy, and sticks the gun to his back, and goes, and you see the bullets out his chest. It was awesome. Then they show Wayne do it, and he's kind of shaking, not sure, and finally he takes the guy out.
Only after the guy faces him, though. It's like, dude, just shoot him in the back.
Yeah,
but he's easier for everyone.
And the guy's like, hey, wait a second. And
he's get out of the guy and then shoot him.
Yeah. So they get the daughter back after shooting up Peter Weller's car and that kind of thing. Or he hops in her car. The lady gets shot in the leg. Everything's great and all that.
It didn't hit any arteries. She's going to be okay.
But at the very end, we get to find out who's behind it all.
You promised me you would control the situation.
I didn't count on Jack Bauer showing up, sir. He outmaneuvered me. Sir Bauer and Wayne Palmer won't be around long enough to tell anybody else what they know. I'm putting together another team. I will handle this, sir, I promise you. I will not let you down.
See that you don't.
Wait a second, no! And next week.
So, like, the whole incompetent president thing is an act?
I guess so. It looks like it's all an act.
You know what? Now the show's stretching. You know, it was stretching before, but now it's stretched a little.
But think about it. It's genius. The president looks, like, totally inept, and he's behind it all. It's really, I think it's really funny. I think it's clever.
No, he's not behind it all. It's someone else above him.
It's possible, but...
And if he wanted Jack Bauer dead so bad, why didn't he kill him whenever he first showed up at the beginning of the season?
I have no idea, but maybe we'll find out soon.
Oy, oy, oy. That show pulls out stuff that I just can't believe sometimes.
It's like when the season's over, if you think about it, it's better not to. Your head starts hurting, wait a second, this doesn't add up. And it's like, no, just move on.
And yeah, what happened to the first season of 24 where it was so good?
Let's move on to Lost.
What happened to the first season when it was so good?
Lost, a show that never leaves questions unanswered. Let's check out what happened on this week's Lost.
I tried giving it all away, but I guess I kind of kept some of it for myself. Wish I could just get rid of it.
Then get rid of it.
Yeah, don't give it to people that are hungry. Throw it around and laugh and giggle.
Yeah, that scene was kind of annoying, wasn't it?
They found something. Come on.
They found more food.
Damn.
Food.
How many of you are there?
You don't understand.
Understand this.
You have 3 seconds to answer my question.
What I will
kill you. He'll kill me.
I'll kill you.
You can't do this.
Three.
Don't. Oh.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Why did she stop him? Why would he kill the guy?
You're still at Santa Rosa, man. You never left the hospital. All this? You? Me? This island? That peanut butter, none of it's real, man. It's all in your head, my friend. But I got better. I changed. Changed? You've been on a deserted island for over 2 months and you haven't dropped 10 pounds.
Libby says it won't happen
overnight. Oh, right, Libby. A mega cute blonde chick who just happens to have the hots for you. The only way for you to bust out is to tell your mind that you don't believe any of this.
I stood at your computer as the alarm beeped, and you know what happened? Your timer just slipped back to 108. I never entered the numbers. I never pressed the button.
Hurley, what is going on?
No! This isn't happening! Because in real life, no girl like you would ever like me. You remember when I said I knew you from somewhere? Well, maybe it's because I made you up.
I am real. The way I feel about you, that's real.
Yeah. And so is this cliff. Please push him off.
It was real.
Maybe you should do one more time. Just to be sure.
you need some water to go with that?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Well, fine. See you later, guys. Thanks for the photo op.
Here's your pill, Libby.
Yeah, what did this mean? Why Libby's at the hospital at the end? What does that mean?
Patient?
That she's a patient or she's...
It's all some autistic child's dream.
Did it not mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's saying elsewhere. Did it just not mean anything like all... You know, everyone else's flashbacks, there's a part where they cross paths with somebody else or something, or they're on TV in the background. Maybe it means nothing. My favorite part of this episode is when Hurley tries to beat up Sawyer or starts beating the crap out of him. I thought that was funny.
Sawyer should have grabbed the guns and shot Hurley in the head and just made it be done with. I'm so sick and tired of Hurley.
Now, this episode, I almost think this episode was kind of where the writers kind of read message boards and they see people's theories. And one of them is, maybe it's all inside Hurley's head because he was a mental institution, that kind of thing, or in someone else's head, and they kind of do this kind of show, no, it's not, or whatever.
Well, how about if they just stop reading the message boards and just get on with the show already? It's just one of those shows where every week you hope to get something good,
right?
And then they might give you a little nugget at the end, and that's supposed to, like, satiate your hunger for this show to
that is
really it, come across as something important, and it just they're just stringing you along.
It's definitely a toss-up from week to week.
I think the show is actually a dream inside Tom Cruise's head.
Now, one thing is that Henry was telling John that he never punched the buttons and let the counter reach zero and nothing happened. It's all a big joke, you know? Do you guys believe that, or is he just screwing around?
Yeah, I think
so. I don't believe anything on this show. You know, it's just another one of... That was the little bit they were throwing out for you.
Now, one thing I keep thinking about this show is that another creation of J.J. Abrams, he co-created Lost with that Damon Lindelof guy, but there was a whole subplot running through all of Alias about Rambaldi. It was never satisfying. Nothing was ever brought to a resolution in a way that felt completely satisfying. Do you agree, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was like after four seasons, and it was in its fifth season that's going to continue on now. But I'm just saying, with Lost, we may not get satisfying answers ever.
It's going to be like Alias, where it's really good for the first two seasons, and then it kind of trickles off, and then they get a little better in the fourth, and then by the fifth, everyone's going to be so sick and friggin' tired at the questions and no answers that they're just going to cancel it.
Like the third and fourth season of Alias, it was hit and miss from week to week. Sometimes it'd be a good episode, sometimes it wasn't, and they'd start to bring Rambaldi stuff back. It would be kind of interesting, and then what the hell did any of that mean?
So they cancel the show before they get rescued, and then they'll have a return to Lost like Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is, as long as this show is a successful series, they don't want to end things. They can't answer anything because that's what makes the show interesting. So I don't think we're ever going to really be truly satisfied with the show.
So everybody's got to quit watching it, so they'll cancel it so they'll answer questions.
I really liked the Locke episode last week. I thought this episode was okay, but it was kind of disappointing that they covered something that really had nothing to do with what was going on the island. It was interesting to see Hurley. Did you guys know right away that Dave was an imaginary figure?
From the first scene whenever he walked into the gym.
And I knew as soon as the guy took a picture of him, it's like, okay, they're going to reveal that he was never there and, you know.
Yeah, it was really lazy.
Yeah, we knew.
And quite frankly, the whole Locke episode last week, the stuff on the island was good. Everything else was just garbage because we already know that Locke's a pushover in his real life, that he's always being used by someone. Or, you know, it just...
And the flashback with his dad, it was kind of like just a repeat of what happened before, but it shows...
Yeah.
One thing I fear about this is, like, with Kate, what did she do? She blew up her real dad. But what's going to happen is they're going to finally reveal how Lost lost his ability to walk, and it's not going to be very satisfying either.
The only episodes I've ever enjoyed about any character are the Jack episodes. The Jack episodes always have something that it's dramatic, it's entertaining. You know, I've never had a problem with the Jack episode.
My favorite episode of the first season was the Locke episode where you find out at the end that he was in a wheelchair. I think that's, like, the best episode. I love that episode.
That was good.
But, you know...
Plus, I loved any Jack episode with Julie Bowen in it.
Right.
Because yeah. I need my Carol Vesey fix.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Lost this week. We'll check out what happens next week. Is it a new one again next week, or is it a rerun?
Yes.
Yeah, it's new again.
Basically. Oh, my God. Yay! They
and
like
then it
us.
Goes
Yay!
Hey, guys, it's time to play Vanessa's 45 collection. Vanessa was recently actually cleaning out her attic, and she found a bunch of old 45s, so we're going to play a little game. She's got her solid-state phonograph, and she's going to play some old records, and we're going to try to guess what they are. What do you guys say? Now, Vanessa, you have a game which you will play TV show themes, and we try to guess what it is. Now, how do you
Correct.
Want us to do this? Will we take turns, or will we all guess at the same time, or what?
We could probably take turns. I'll start with Steve, and if he can't guess it, then I'll move. Then you two can try to guess.
All right, well, let's go. You, all right. I'll hand over the mic to you, and let's see what happens.
All right, Steven, you're first. These start out easy, and then we're going to go to a more difficult. All right?
Okay.
Ready, Steven?
I'm
right.
ready.
All right.
Dallas.
Good sound quality, too. Dallas. That's right. Okay.
That's one for Steven. All right. You ready, Bill?
Yeah. I won't get it right, but I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
It's Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Very good. All right, Jason, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
My dedication to you. All right, what is it?
Is that the Ropers?
It sure is.
Damn! Hell yes!
I thought you would like that.
Dude, right. that's like cruel that you actually knew that.
Dude, I'm...
He loves that theme.
Man, I love I love Three's Company. I love the Ropers, man. I love all that stuff.
You love right. the Ropers?
Yeah, the Norman theme. Fell rocks.
I hated Norman Fell. Don Knotts was better.
Are you more of a Mr. Furley fan?
Yeah.
I love Mr. Furley, too. Guy was genius.
All right, Steven, you ready?
Get the next vinyl record to put on the phonograph.
Phonograph. The cans with two strings. All right, here we go. All right, Steven.
Is your record a little warped there?
Wow.
The only reason I know that one is because my dad played trumpet in high school and he has all those Al Hurt records.
Well, Steven, can you take a guess first?
I have no clue.
All right. Jason or Bill, go ahead.
Green Hornet.
That's right. That's two for Bill.
My dad was a huge trumpet player in high school and he had all those, like, Herb Alpert and a Tijuana Brass and, you know, all that.
The Rectamundo.
All right, Bill, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Oh!
All right.
I'm not going to get it right, only because I know it, but I don't, all I can think of for some stupid reason is Murder, She Wrote, but I know it's not it, because I know Murder, She Wrote.
All right, Jason.
I've watched that. I watched that show on TV Land too. I know it.
I know that's what drives you nuts about these. I know that.
I think I know what it is.
Jason,
is it My Favorite Martian?
Ding ding ding.
Yep, that is it. Because I remember the animated beginning.
Yeah.
I always thought that was awesome.
All right, that's two for Jason, two for Bill, one for Steven.
Correctamundo.
All right, Jason, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Here we go.
Why All couldn't right. I get that one?
Did your record player blow off? Hunter?
It's Hunter, yes.
Starring
that is so totally Hunter.
With Dee Dee McCall.
Correctamundo.
Right.
I love that song. I didn't
what
know it started
nickname?
Like that.
What was her nickname in it?
Dee Dee McCall?
Yeah, what was her nickname?
Was that the Hunter theme by 38 Special? I don't know who did that.
Hang on loosely!
But don't let go.
I love my old 45s. I actually have 45s and an 8-track player.
We'll have this segment every once in a while called Vanessa's 45 Record Collection. Are Bill and I tied or what?
No, you're winning right now, 3-2-1.
Steven, unfortunately, you've been eliminated.
All right, Bill, since Jason got an easier one, I'll give you an easier one. All right, ready?
I love Yakety Sax. That was used on a Benny Hill TV show. And multiple
other Correctamundo.
All right, here's the tiebreaker. You ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Genius. It's the Rifleman. All right, who wins?
Jason wins.
Correctamundo.
Hey, Vanessa, that was great. Do you think you can bat another 45. One out of the park? You know what I'm saying? You ready to do the news?
Let the bodies hit the floor.
All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week here in Mulberry at the Mulberry News Desk?
Thank you for that long intro. According to E! Online, as far as some of her business associates are concerned, Jessica Simpson is not exactly Employee of the Month. And the In the Skin singer has been sued for $100 million by...
Well. Hi, bitch.
The In the Skin singer has been sued for $100 million by an apparel company that claims she failed to promote their product as promised. According to the complaint filed in the New York State Supreme Court by the Tarrant Apparel Group, Simpson inked a multi-million three-year licensing deal in December 2004 to launch a line of low-priced jeans and clothing. Under the terms of the agreement, Simpson was supposed to be actively involved in promoting the garb, the jeans, including wearing items from that line at public events, shows, and appearances whenever reasonably practicable. However, it seems, Jessica attended precious few events she deemed suitable for trotting out the affordable duds, leading the company to gripe that she simply failed to provide the promise supported. The company contends that Azard Star, use that loosely, even refused to be photographed wearing items from JS Collection by Jessica Simpson.
Now, Vanessa, what kind of pants were these?
His purple satin butt pants.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
They were druthers.
Yeah, rough skin, tough skin, where they were. Could live through a nuclear war. But so basically, she's supposed to wear these jeans everywhere that she could, except for, you know, black tie affairs.
What kind of jeans?
So there's his purple satin butt pants. That's right. Purple satin butt pants.
Purple satin butt jeans.
All right. Also, forget Simon. Paula Abdul has a new nemesis in her crosshairs.
Retarded.
The usually perky American Idol judge has filed a report with a Los Angeles police department accusing a man of assaulting her at a weekend party.
She's insane.
You know. She had to wear a splint for a thumb or whatever it was.
That's a great thing.
The singer turned up at the Hollywood station on Tuesday to file her claim. She said she was attending a private bash at a local club about 1 a.m. on Sunday when a fellow party-goer grabbed her by the arm grabbed her by the arm and threw her against the wall.
Steven is my name.
Steven, how
That's
could you?
That's what I said to her.
Steven is my name. The man
beat you, fiend. Steven. She says she sustained a concussion and spinal injuries. And she
hurt so bad my spine. Sick of dying going, oh, my ovaries.
Will you get off my back?
I'm not on your back.
You are. I can feel you. You're there like Jabba's little mate.
Abdul suffers from a neurological disorder that caused her chronic back pain, and the club fight apparently made it worse.
Yeah, neurological disorder? Batshit crazy.
yeah,
exactly.
Hey, I'm a historian of ass.
Well, Abdul didn't seem to exhibit any signs of discomfort.
Billy.
Any signs of discomfort during Wednesday night's American Idol results show?
I thought you were going to say when Steven pushed up against the wall.
No. But they just think it's kind of odd that she didn't seem to be in any pain during the show.
Batshit crazy.
Definitely.
It takes a while for the pain to set in.
Yeah. That's why Emilio left her.
All right, federal authorities seem to have no intention of letting Hollywood's former detective to the stars go down alone. Die Hard director John McTiernan became the 14th person and the most well-known Tinseltown figure to be charged with a crime in relation to the federal racketeering and conspiracy case against investigator Annie Pilichano. McTiernan...
Is he a detective or something?
Yeah.
You crooked dick!
McTiernan, a Hollywood veteran who also directed, you know, Hunt for October and Predator...
Okay, the best movie ever, Die Hard, hello!
We already said that! The charges read that during a February 13th interview with federal agents, John McTiernan told them that he knew nothing about Pelliciano's alleged wiretapping activities and had never discussed wiretapping with a detective, when in fact he had hired him to do a job for him. McTiernan allegedly commissioned the private investigator to bug the office of producer Charles Roven, whom the director had worked with on 2002's Rollerball, and had supposedly discussed the findings from that wiretap with Pelliciano. So, he's screwed.
That poor son of a bitch. Getting hit for something he did during Rollerball. The movie wasn't bad enough.
I know. All right, poor Tom Cruise.
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
As Tom Cruise prepares to be a proud papa again, he has implied there's one man he definitely will not be taking lessons in daddyhood from.
Silence, if you please.
Oh, I get it. Silent birth.
The star says that... His father, Thomas Cruise Mapother III, who died in the mid-80s of cancer, was
Methuselah III.
Yeah, was abusive.
No sudden movements around the child.
He was a bully and a coward. He was the kind of person where if something goes wrong, they kick you, Cruise said. It was a great lesson in my life, how he'd lull you in, make you feel safe, and then bang.
Sounds like Jonathan Nanton.
Even when he was a child, he felt his dad was someone to watch out for. For me, it was like, there's something wrong with this guy. Don't trust him. Be careful around him. There's that anxiety.
And yet people say the same for him.
Well, of course, Cruise tried to approach his father for a reconciliation between Risky Business and Top Gun happening when his father was on his deathbed. He would only meet me on the basis that I didn't ask him anything about the past. They reunited, but there was no closure to be had. When Tom Cruise saw him in pain, he thought, wow, what a lonely life. He was in his late 40s, and it was just sad. So,
did he get an e-meter reading before he...
Obviously, Scientology could help him. Why doesn't he want to spread the love there?
There's something up there.
What do you want from me?
Everything.
That's sort of really creepy. What the hell is that from?
Yeah, it is really creepy.
All right, three Singaporeans...
And don't jabber at me in a foreign tongue.
...were found safe Thursday after getting lost on what they said was a mission... to find a legendary karate expert on a snowy mountainside in Japan. I thought you would like
I think maybe they watched Batman Begins too many times.
You want to see me kick some ass? I don't fucking karate!
So the guy is some kind of like karate expert?
We're looking for our sensei. He's in a hidden mountain to retreat.
So, he's kind of a judo man, right?
Screw this small judo man.
One of the three men, who were all aged between 25 and 50, told
and
police...
And mentally retarded.
Yeah, no kidding. In Hirosaki,
my baseball?
Near the northern tip of Japan's main island, that they had come to Japan after his dying father, a martial arts expert, had ordered them to seek out the karate teacher, Asashi. Japan looked so small on the world map that we thought we'd be able to find him straight away, one of them said.
have you seen my baseball?
All three were dressed in light clothing and huddling in an abandoned car when they were rescued from the slopes of a 5,249-foot Mount Iwaki in the early hours of the morning after calling for help on a mobile phone. Neither police nor local people knew of anyone running karate classes in the area.
So. Oh, that's class.
So they go to the mountain.
His old man probably said, go get lost in the mountains.
So I'm really sad they never found the karate expert.
No, they never found
karate. Well, that's because no one speaks of him. He's like Voldemort. key who must not be named.
Is it kind of like that dude in Batman?
Yeah, a lot like that.
Yes, his name is Ken Watanabe.
You're the man now, dog.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
All right, Vanessa, what other stories you have this week on Nowhere in Mulberry, straight from the Mulberry News Desk?
That's it. That's all I've got.
Cultural district.
That's all you got? Well, thanks a lot for doing the news, Vanessa.
Bill, anytime.
Bill, you ready to do some DVDs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Get hands!
Ah, yes, the DVD segment, Steven and Vanessa and Bill. Bill, you ready to do some DVDs of the week?
Tell us what we should buy.
Because you see, here in Mulberry, we have to get them all through the mail.
You should.
Best buy for us here.
All right, Bill, what you got this week in DVDs?
All right, these DVDs are for release on April 11th, 2006. We're going to start off with a film that everyone will enjoy. Man, Woman, Child, Hermaphrodite.
It's nice to see the films being made for them, too.
Yeah, you know,
sweet
it's important.
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
It's Caved In, Prehistoric Terror.
Awesome! A sci-fi original movie.
The thing that I love about these sci-fi original movies is they make them for release on sci-fi, but yet when they release them on DVD, they release them in their original R-rated form.
Nice.
That's what I was wondering. Because remember when I told you about that reality show where they were using reality stars to make a horror movie, and they had a big issue about nudity? I'm like, why did they care? They're showing it on sci-fi.
I'm struggling.
Colm Meaney is in this one, and that's important, because he backs up the terrific Christopher Atkins.
Awesome.
So pick up Caved In, Prehistoric Terror.
What I love about Christopher Atkins is he takes seriously his craft. I mean, he becomes that character.
Yeah, he's like Jeff Conaway in Taxi.
Exactly. They become the people they're playing.
Now, this is important for music fans. This band's been around for a while. I would have to say close to 10 years, if not longer. I have no idea. I just got to know them within the past 10 years, and it's Death Cab for Cutie. They're starting to get really popular as of late, and their latest album they released, Plans, they sent a call out to all their fans to make music videos for each song on the album. So the fans made their music videos and sent them to them, and they decided which ones were the best. And they put them out on a DVD being released called Directions. And it runs just how the album runs, but it's these fan-made music videos. And they've been posting them on their website for each week leading up to the release on the 11th. But I've seen most of them because you can get them on iTunes. And they're just really, they're really creative and really good, and the music's, you know, Plans is a good album. It's not their best album, but it's certainly their most commercial album. But I would check it out for fans of, film and for fans of music. It's really good. I recommend it. Thumbs up.
Death Cab for Cutie.
Death Cab for Cutie in the DVD's titled Directions.
And
you can
listen.
Do something like that?
You could sample some of their songs on our chat room when you go to Friday Night Chats.
Yeah, actually, I put one or two of their songs up there on the jukebox.
Radio blog.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Here's an independent film that I heard a lot of good things about, but I have a feeling it's one of those films that, unless you're kind of in the know of the whole Hollywood industry, you wouldn't really get. It's called Ellie Parker, and it has Naomi Watts in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of shot like in a handheld, almost documentary type of way, but it's not a documentary, you know.
It's all done on video, right?
Yeah, I think it's done on like high def video or something.
It's like those digital horror movies.
They're making all kinds of money
with Digicam.
But yeah, it's
it looks
Los
like
Angeles Times gave it good reviews. Got two thumbs up from Ebert and Roper. But you know, you might want to check it out on Netflix, because I'm not sure about it.
From footage I've seen of it, it looks like it could either be good or really annoying. Like, it,
exactly.
You know, it kind of walks that fine line.
Yeah. And obviously this guy, this Scott Coffey that directed it, like, knows some people.
And we'd all recognize him if you saw him from other things.
Yeah. And Chevy Chase plays her, Naomi Watts' agent. And I think Dogstar, the band that Keanu Reeves plays bass in, is in it. So,
awesome. Hey. Sold.
Here's a film directed by one of my favorite actors. He's not the best actor in the world, but he certainly has done his fair share of films. I loved his first directorial effort, Frailty. Really good.
Oh. Love that movie.
But this is Bill Paxton's The Greatest Game Ever Played. It's a Disney film with
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. And supposedly it's some sort of true story about Francis Humet or something. I can't pronounce his name.
It's about a golf player.
It's about a young kid that plays golf.
That
and I'm guessing
right.
He wins.
Does he do me that way?
No. next film is Spy Mate from the producers of Air Bud. It's you get the title Spy Mate, Primate. It's a spy It's a high-flying action chimp monkey in an awesome spy adventure.
Is it all it's one animal?
Yes, it's a monkey.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was like
I think
like they mixed it like a chimp monkey cat thing.
No, it's Spy Mate.
Gotcha.
So just and that's a clip from the film.
Nice, I like it.
So this monkey
Netflix
stars in this movie with the late great Pat Morita.
Oh hell yes.
Sitcom veteran Richard Kind.
You know why I love Pat Morita?
Screw the small judo man.
He's a judo man.
And everyone's favorite Barry Bostwick from Spin City and Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And Megaforce.
Yes. All right.
Okay, so here's another film.
Raver Bill.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Raver Bill.
This is a film that got a lot of attention from Oprah.
Oh.
Yes. It stars, and I'm not sure if he's also involved in the writing, but it's called Women Thou Art Loose, and it stars Bishop T.D. Jakes. I believe it's about a woman who was raised in an environment of abuse and molestation.
I'm very hurt.
I'm guessing she was loosed. Loosed by what means, I have no idea. But she was loosed, and it's called Woman Thou Art Loosed.
That's wheels off.
Yes, it is.
The last film we're going to cover...
Oh, that's not right.
...is directed by Dean Parisot.
Ah, the director of Galaxy Quest.
Yes, which I love. I think Galaxy Quest is one of the best movies...
Next to Die Hard?
Ever
well,
made.
No. He didn't let me finish.
Let him finish.
The lampoon, the sci-fi genre. I really love that movie. I watch it every time it's on.
Right.
But this one is not so good. It's called Fun with Dick and Jane.
Oh.
I know that, dude.
Wasn't there a film in the 70s with George Segal called Fun with Dick and Jane?
You dick!
But anyway, this one has Jim Carrey and Taya Leone, and that's about it.
I've heard the main thing wrong with this comedy is that it's not funny. So,
yeah, so everyone loves a comedy that's not funny.
So if you make a comedy, remember the
humor.
You've got to make it funny, otherwise it's not a comedy.
Oh, yeah, and if you're trying to make a comedy, don't put Alec Baldwin in it, because that'll just kill it.
Right, it's just not funny.
Not funny, ha-ha, funny, queer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those are the DVDs for April 11th, 2006.
Wow, you know what? I'm excited. Those all sound really good.
Yeah, it's a really good week.
Can't wait.
Yes,
Fun
it
with
is.
Dick and Jane. It's on my list now.
And may I say, Bill, you're looking really good today.
Oof, thank you.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. right, guys, that's episode 30. Thanks for joining us for the 30th time in a row. You feel like giving us some feedback now, don't you? NimPodcast@gmail.com.
We know you want to.
I know that I'm going to write myself after the show. Tell myself what a good job I did.
I'm going to give myself a slap on the ass.
I think I'll give a call in.
Yeah. Yeah, do that, Steven. Hey, let's start doing that. Let's just leave voicemails for the show. Bill has left a voicemail for the show that time that we failed to pick him up and he was locked out of his car. You guys remember that?
Bastards. The zombies were after him.
Don't even remind me, because you're just going to piss me off again.
He just bought his Xbox 360, and let's just not go there. But let's reflect back on the show. What do you guys think?
What did we learn today?
It's pretty good. Good stuff.
I really liked whenever we went to that place that Mr. Rogers used to take us.
On the
trolley.
I liked hearing Vanessa play her old
Victrola 45
collection.
The yellow adapters.
That was fun. Give us feedback on that, people. Do you like listening to old TV themes?
Yeah, on Vanessa's old Solid State.
Did you even know what they were?
Should we maybe start the movie clip game again?
Yeah.
Should we drive Jason crazy when he has to prepare them all week long?
Movie drops.
See, even I forgot the name of that.
Should have been
thing.
TV drops.
See, I'd rather put the pressure on Vanessa to finding the clips all week. That's better.
Yeah, but she's the one that goes to Walmart and buys the $5 bin TV theme.
Full 45s. Vanessa, you need to find 8-tracks. This might be better sound quality for the show. You know,
I have those.
You can't top the record player.
But I especially like when the 8-track has a song that you really like and it cuts out in the middle and fades out so it can start on the other track.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's genius. Now, guys, remember to visit us on Fridays in our chat room where we talk about things like movie reviews and shows we watch during the week.
Or nothing.
Yeah. And when do we normally pop in there?
I try to be there by midnight Central Time. This time I was there a little early because I had nothing else to do.
All right, so 1 a.m. Eastern, 12 Central, maybe a little earlier.
Yeah, 12 Central.
That's
what Jay Leno
says.
That's
when I showed up a little after 12.
You know what I'm saying? 12 Central.
I showed up a little after.
Certainly. Whoop, 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 whoop. No, but seriously, though.
Yeah, Steven was fashionably late, as always.
Well, that's because I flew in, and I'll be flying in again late coming in from Akron.
Excuses.
What, you flew in last week? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I flew in Friday.
And boy, are his arms tired.
Oh, God.
Nice.
Oh, Lordy.
Where's the gunshot?
Damn you, Reaver Bill!
Damn you, Reaver
Bill! Now, next week is our All Eugene show.
Oh, jeez. That's a really bad idea.
I just killed myself.
Hey, Boba Fett!
Now, seriously, though, if you'd like to call our show and leave a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491, and we'll play your voicemail on the show, and Foggy will make a drop out of it. And we'll play it every single episode until we die.
How's your little show doing?
Yeah. Is that like your mom says?
Yeah. How's your little show?
How's the little show doing, Steven? First of all, it's a gigantic show, Ma. I'll show you one day.
Ma, top of the world, Ma.
Did you guys know the Earth is only 6,000 years old and dinosaurs existed with man?
No shit.
T-Rex in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve will be running all the time, scared shitless.
Exactly. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Here, you won't find it anywhere. Sell the same for chicken for
that hunger attack. When I'm thinking chicken taco, I'm thinking Arby's.
Now this is podcasting.